Well, the World Health Organization is now saying what parents have suspected for a long time: video gaming can be addictive. The WHO has added gaming disorder to its international classification of diseases, a designation that's more than a formality. Mental health professionals say it can help them learn to treat patients. It might also push insurance companies to cover the treatment and signal to people it's okay to get help. Someone who's been providing help in one of only a handful of places offering residential help is psychologist Hillary Cash. She's co-founder of Restart, a facility for adults and adolescents in Washington State. She joins us by Skype. Dr. Cash, Hillary, for people who've been looking at their newspapers recently, your facility was featured in the New York Times. There was a huge, almost life-sized chessboard, an attempt maybe to get people to play real games?
Yes. We want people to get out and into the world and enjoying one another's company as well as enjoying the outdoors. And so that's one of the ways we try to lure them out.
Look, if you have had someone that you've loved, a young person in particular, play video games hour after hour in dark rooms with strangers, on headsets, you have seen how they change. But make the case that this really is a disorder, because there are people scoffing at that.
When the adults come, they're usually severely depressed. They failed out of high school. They failed in relationships, if they've even tried a relationship. They failed out of work. They're just at their wit's end, and many of them are actually suicidally depressed. Mm-hmm. They cannot get away from the games and the internet. And the kids we treat are between the ages of 13 and 18. When they come, most of them are in school refusal. They've stopped going to school, and they are fighting, really fighting with their parents in very severe ways, sometimes quite violently. And they are often depressed as well, but we see the school refusal and violent behavior at home as pretty common symptoms.
Yeah, we've covered school refusal quite a bit here. The New York Times quotes a doctor who says he has patients who come in who have an addiction to Candy Crush Saga, and they are similar to his patients who have cocaine disorders.
Yeah. Well, the brain imaging that is being done, the research in that field, is showing that the brain lights up in just the same ways, whether you're high on cocaine or high on a video game.
Look, 2.6 billion people play video games around the world, and that's two-thirds of American households. This is according to the Entertainment Software Association. And people push video games as things that can light up parts of the brain, that can be good for coordination. What do you say to that?
They say it is really good for hand-eye coordination. And if you're a surgeon, for instance, it really helps to play a video game before you go into surgery. But how many people kind of need that level of hand-eye coordination? Most of us don't. Mm. And what we also know is that it actually really impedes development in children in a number of areas, including their social development, their executive functioning, that prefrontal cortex. So it can impede development, I think, if it's introduced too young and children are allowed to play too much. It really can have detrimental effects.
The hope is that the WHO's designation might get some coverage from insurance companies, might take away the stigma. Do you see stigma? And we know that I think your facility is something like $30,000 for 7 weeks. Am I in the ballpark there?
Yeah, it's $550 a day for the intensive phase of the program, and then the costs drop off way lower than that as time goes by, as they stay longer in the program if they choose to. And, of course, it would be enormously helpful if insurance would be convinced to pay for it. This does open the door for that, although it takes a long time for the insurance companies to make the changes they need to make internally. And it requires pressure from the purchasers of insurance.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, the point is that this is how desperate people are, that they're paying this out of pocket. You hope that the insurance company begins to contribute. And there are other avenues. Game Quitters is an online forum. It's got 50,000 people a month from 91 countries, you know, trying to use talk therapy and maybe yoga to get out of gaming. For somebody who's listening right now who can't afford the rehab, what's the first thing you'd say to them?
You need support. You need not to be isolated. So find a therapist who understands gaming disorder. Find a support group, and that might be through a 12-step meeting, maybe Gamblers Anonymous. We've started one called Internet and Technology Addicts Anonymous. find a 12-step meeting where you can be part of a community. If you're a parent struggling with your kids, go to Al-Anon. It's really helpful to have support out there in the world.
Al-Anon, again, for loved ones of alcoholics, but it can be broad and apply to any addict.
And there's some excellent books out there. People can get educated and get a lot of help that way.
We'll put some of your recommendations at hereandnow.org. Hilary Cash, Chief Clinical Officer at Restart, a residential facility treating video game addiction in Falls City, Washington. The WHO has just designated it a disorder. Dr. Cash, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.